Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. We'll be talking in just a few minutes with Tico Duckett, chair of the 2010 Capital Area United Way fundraising drive, and also star of the 1990 MSU U of M game. There were a lot of stars in that game. Want to welcome in someone who enjoyed that game a great deal, and that is Derek Wallbank, our Washington-based political reporter and a guy who runs the other side of SpartanSports.com. Hello, Derek. How are you?
Hey, Jack. Doing great. How are you?
Just fine. Well, we just had Joe Schwartz on the show, and he was talking about the evils of some of this third-party money coming in and how it is devaluing the opinions and the decision-making power of the average citizen. Is this a legitimate concern?
You know, I think the thing that I would point to that's troubling for a lot of people is the fact that we don't know where a lot of that money is coming from.
Yeah.
The Citizens United case that really opened up a lot of this has provided for this new stream of cash where you can sort of channel your donations to an entity, and you don't have to report. You don't have to report who's funding it, as long as it theoretically spends more than half of its money on something that's not elections related. Now, that's a little bit dicey because you start with running ads that say, "Oh, the stimulus is terrible, and anyone who votes for it is bad," and you move on to saying this guy who voted for the stimulus is bad. Call him and tell him how bad he is, and then you move on to something that says, vote for this guy's opponent. Well, where's the line in that? And more to the point, who's behind these ads? You know, are these really grassroots things, or are these just sort of lined by corporations?
Right, right. In terms of term limits, we've talked about this before, and Bill Ballinger and Joe Schwartz both railing against term limits. Does it seem that the establishment, and maybe they have vested interest, or maybe they just know some of the problems associated with that, are very much opposed, but to the public, maybe it's a simplistic argument, but somehow it passed.
Well, you know, here's the thing with term limits, Jack. There, you can make a case for term limits, you can make a case for not term limits. The thing that people should know in Michigan is that the result of it is this. The people coming in don't really know in their freshman term exactly what they're doing. The people in their sophomore term are chairing committees and becoming Speaker of the House and becoming, you know, all of these other positions. And now the folks who don't really know what they're doing are trying to lead the state. Before, they'd have a little bit of time to get to know what they were doing. One. Two, if you want to know who's really had an uptick in influence, it's the people who are, you know, the lobbyists, the associations. And, you know, again, there's been a long history where people have relied on them for figuring out exactly what's going on for some statistical things, but now it's just a lot more of that going on. And so the role of the legislators individually has decreased a little bit.
All right, when we talked with Bill Ballinger, he said that he's not convinced that John Dingell is in as much trouble as some recent poll numbers might indicate. You and I both saw the Rossman Group numbers, which said that John Dingell is in the fight of his life. Is he going to turn this around?
You know, if there's anyone who can, it's John Dingell. I think John Dingell starts out with an advantage in that everybody who's in his district has voted for him multiple times, or at least seen his name on the ballot. That's a really powerful thing, but I got to tell you, Jack, there's no incumbent in this country that's really, really, really safe. You've got to go out every year, and you've got to go out and make sure that the voters come out and vote for you. You know, every year is a new campaign, and upsets do happen. The thing is, you get a poll that's out there from a group. I mean, look, Kelly Rossman is not going to be the world's most hostile person to a Democrat, and the person she was polling with is someone who leans a little to the right. Between them, they sort of cancel each other out. And you can say whatever you want to about the poll, but if it shows Dingell's opponent up by any margin, you got to sit there and go, whoa, this race actually could turn. One, two, Democrats have been saying for at least a month that Dingell's vulnerable and that he needs help. So if the Democrats are saying that and a poll is saying that, I'm going to keep an eye on this race.
Would the 7th District race with Mark Schauer and Tim Walberg be maybe one of the four or five races around the country that might be most interesting, might be the most revealing, might have a lot to say with who controls the House of Representatives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, look, I have an election preview coming out for the news organization I work closely with, Minnesota Post, and I'm telling the people in Minnesota, if you're watching for something, watch for Michigan 7 as one of those to keep your eye on a little bit before the results in the Central Time Zone come in. Look, this is a classic swing district. It's a rematch of what's happened before. If you want to see where the electorate's going, how better than to compare 2008 to 2010? That's exactly what you can do in Michigan 7. You've got urban areas. You've got agricultural lands. You've got you know, the basic middle of the state. And I think this is a great one to watch. This is a toss up. Everyone says so, and I fully agree.
And this isn't just a rematch, Derek. This is a rematch of the rematch. This is like Ollie Frazier 3.
You know, that district has a history of turning out incumbents after one term. It's done that for, I think, three in a row now. But I'll tell you, Jack, Mark Schauer, if he loses this one, I don't know what else he could have done to stay in office. He has raised a lot of money. He's been in his district a lot. His campaign headquarters is in the swingiest part of this district in Jackson. And more importantly, he's had a little bit of luck on his side. Mark Schauer will never say this, but the best thing that ever happened to him was getting appointed to that pipeline oversight committee that he's on,
right,
and then having the Enbridge spill happen actually in his district. Not saying it was a good thing that it happened, don't misunderstand, but in terms of political opportunity, he's been out there beating the pavement, trying to hold these people to account, been really aggressive in his language, and frankly done as much as he possibly could to save his seat. If he loses, you will know this is a really terrible year for Democrats. And you know, Tim Walberg has won this race before. He knows what he's doing. He is a formidable challenger, and this is going to be a good one.
All right, Derek, we're asking everyone today for their take on this football game. We just heard from Joe Schwartz, and I think you know the way he's going to look at this, but we want to get your take on what's going to happen tomorrow in Ann Arbor. What's your prediction for this game?
Jack, I think Michigan State wins this one, and they win it somewhat easily. My final score is 42-31, because, look, the thing I haven't heard Michigan fans say at all is how they think that a close win over the University of Massachusetts and pulling it out at the wire over Indiana exactly prepares you to take on a defense or an offense like Michigan State. How do you figure that team's just great? You go into Bloomington, you squeak out a win. Well, congratulations! Now you're playing a real team. Look, we matched up far worse with Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a tougher opponent, and this game will be a lot easier. Denard Robinson's fine and all. He's a great player. I totally give him that. Who else you got? There's 22 guys on a football team, not counting special teams. 22 guys, you got one. Okay, so that means Michigan State is better at 21 of 22 positions. I like my odds.
Derek Walbank, Washington-based political reporter, and that's pretty clear what color he's going to be wearing tomorrow. Derek, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Green and white. Go State.